JT Miller is no longer a member of the Vancouver Canucks. The star forward has reportedly been traded to the New York Rangers, the same team with which Miller started his career after they drafted him 15th overall in the 2011 NHL entry draft. According to reports, Miller was nearly traded to the Rangers 2 weeks ago, but that deal fell through, either due to conditions attached to the Rangers' first-round pick or because the Rangers wanted the Canucks to retain salary on Miller. It should also be noted that Miller has a full no-movement clause in his contract that he had to be willing to waive to go to New York. Full trade details as JT Miller heads to the Rangers. According to Larry Brooks at the New York Post, the full deal is Miller and defenseman Jackson Dorrington and Eric Brandstrom for Philip Chytil, Victor Mancini, and a protected first-round pick. The Canucks will not be retaining any of Miller's salary. The first-round pick is TOP 13 protected. Presumably, the Canucks would receive the Rangers' 2026 first-round pick if the 2025 first-round pick falls into that range. The trade comes in the wake of public comments made by Jim Rutherford, the Canucks president of hockey operations, that he felt the relationship between Miller and fellow star forward Elias Pettersson was untenable. "I felt like for a long time that there was a solution here because everybody has worked on it, including the parties involved," said Rutherford to Gary Mason at the Globe and Mail. "But it only gets resolved for a short period of time and then it festers again, and so it certainly appears like there's not a good solution that would keep this group together." Trading one or both of Miller and Pettersson, then, felt inevitable. For now, the Canucks have decided to at least trade Miller. What did the Canucks give up in the Miller trade? In terms of what the Canucks gave up, it's not much beyond Miller. Eric Brandstrom had worn out his welcome in Vancouver after a strong start and was unlikely to play another game with the Canucks barring some catastrophic injuries to the defense corps. As for Jackson Dorrington, he was far down the charts among the Canucks' prospects. He landed on Tier 5 of the Canucks' prospect pyramid in PITB's prospect rankings, as he's a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none prospect without a defining characteristic that projects to land him in the NHL. When elite prospects ranked the Canucks' TOP 16 prospects, Dorrington wasn't among them. Miller himself, of course, is a major loss. The 31-year-old center is coming off a 103-point season and has scored 30-plus goals in each of his last three seasons with the Canucks. While his production has been down this season, he still led all Canucks forwards with 35 points in 40 games. In addition, Miller was the Canucks' best face-off man, winning 58.6% of his draws, which ranks top 10 in the NHL. In addition, he was a key component of the Canucks' power play with his playmaking off the left boards and dangerous shot. While Miller has had some of his old defensive habits resurface this season, he is a fiery two-way competitor when he's at the top of his game. He should immediately step onto the Rangers' first line and has the potential to form a dangerous partnership with star winger Artemi Panarin. What did the Canucks get back in the Miller trade? The Canucks are getting a player, a prospect, and a pick in return for Miller, which is essentially the generic trade return that every team reportedly asks for when moving a star. The player is Philip Chytil, a capable second-line center who has 11 goals and 20 points in 41 games this season. In terms of the Canucks lineup, he'll take Miller's spot. In terms of what he brings to the table, he won't. The 6'2" Chytil was the Rangers' worst center on faceoffs, with a 45.7% faceoff percentage this season. While good in the offensive zone, Chytil gives up a lot defensively and doesn't kill penalties. He played on the Rangers' second unit on the power play and has just 3 power play points this season. Still, Chytil can hold his own as a top 6 center. He's also just 25 years old and is under contract for 2 more seasons after this one at a fairly reasonable $4,437,500 cap hit. The question long-term for Chytil is health. He's dealt with significant injuries in his career, including concussions, with one limiting him to just 10 games last season. Victor Mancini is intriguing. The right-shot defenseman has solid size at 6 feet 3 inches and 229 pounds and is a mobile skater for his size according to scouting reports. Mancini is a physical defender, with a tendency to throw big hits. Mancini has played 15 games for the Rangers this season, with 5 points in those games. With the Hartford Wolfpack in the AL, he has 10 points in 23 games. Despite putting up some points in the NHL, Mancini's underlying numbers suggest that he doesn't move the needle offensively. Still, at 22, there's still a little room for growth. Mancini was ranked the 16th best prospect in the Rangers' 19th ranked prospect system by Elite Prospects. Swedish blueliner mostly acquitted himself well as the defensive conscience on Nebraska Omaha's top pair during his 3-year tour of duty with the Mavericks, reads his profile with Elite Prospects. He was reasonably mobile, moved the puck effectively, and got stops along the wall. At this point, Mancini could quickly get a chance to play for Vancouver, as he only needs to prove that he can be better than Noah Juulsen and Vincent Deharnais. The first-round pick being protected could come into play if the Rangers can't improve on their current position in the standings. The Rangers currently sit 22nd in the NHL, which would have them 11th in the draft order. Adding Miller, however, should boost their chances of moving up their standings and getting into playoff position. In that case, the Canucks would get a pick in the back half of the first round, which has significantly less value than a pick in the first half of the first round but could still produce a future star player. Of course, the Canucks showed in the Bo Horvat trade that they won't hesitate to flip a first-round pick for a player they like, as they moved the pick that came back in the Horvat deal for Filip Hronek. What this means for the Canucks going forward? This is now Elias Pettersson's team unless the Canucks decide to trade him too. If his internal issues with Miller were one of the causes behind his poor production this season, that excuse is now gone. Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet will now need to figure out who will become the go-to center on faceoffs, an area where Atu Ratu could stake a claim to stick in the lineup. Otherwise, more pressure will be placed on Teddy Bluger, Pius Suter, and, of course, Pettersson. More importantly, the Canucks will need to figure out how to replace Miller on the power play. Again, Pettersson will have to step up as the primary playmaker among the team's forwards. Miller's departure also has a major impact on the Canucks' salary cap picture. With the Canucks not retaining any of Miller's cap hit, the full freight of his $8 million contract is off the books. Long term, that's significant for the Canucks, as he is signed through the 2029-30 season. In some ways, that's the biggest benefit of making the trade, as the odds were good that Miller's performance would decline over the course of his contract, as he'll be 37 by the end of his contract. Of course, with the salary cap increasing significantly in the coming years, that may not have mattered much. Chitil's cap hit of $4,437,500 cap hit means the Canucks gain $3,562,500 in cap space this season. With the Canucks also accruing cap space by staying under the cap limit throughout the season, the Canucks could potentially add a significant player or players at the trade deadline. Chitil's contract expires after the 2026-27 season, which happens to coincide with the expiration of Quinn Hughes' contract. If Chitil proves himself with the Canucks, that will mean another player in need of a contract; if not, that frees up plenty of cap space for a new deal for Hughes.